Well, Father God, we just thank you so much for an awesome time with you tonight. And Lord, I thank you for helping us to clear the air in the name of Jesus right now. I bind up all tormenting spirits that might want to come on this outreach and show out in the name of Jesus. I bind you up, cast you out of here. All spirits of witchcraft, curses, anything spoken against this fellowship, any Jezebel spirits, any tormenting spirits of any and all descriptions, be bound and cast out right now in the name of Jesus. You are not allowed to speak in this outreach in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just praise you that we're going to have an awesome time with you tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Lord, that we have an open heaven right now and forever, because you told us that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. And I know you're here and amongst us now. And if you're here and amongst us, you're hearing us. And I praise you, Father, for this open heaven you have given us in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an unusual night of nothing but you, Lord, and the truth. And I praise you, Father, for the truth that you're going to speak tonight through us and all the people here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. I want to say a few words before we get started, if I can. The Lord's been showing us that we're going to come into a time. We're already in a time now where each and every one of us need to put on our spiritual warfare battle gear. Talks about Ephesians 6. And do praying for each other. And praying for yourself. And believing for yourself. And not relying on someone else to do it for you. Because how are you going to help somebody if you're always relying on somebody else to pray for you? And that's where we are right now. We are where we need to stand up for ourselves and the people around us and help out. Because how are you going to help somebody if you don't know how to help yourself? And to help yourself, I'm not talking about your flesh. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. You can't hang on the coattails of somebody else all the time. There's going to be a time where you're going to be thrown out there by yourself. And when you're out there by yourself, what are you going to do? When you can't call or you can't do whatever it is that you do to get someone else to pray for you. And I'm not trying to pick anybody out here at all. I'm just saying this is for the whole group and those that are listening as well. If we're going to be the ones to help people when they come into the kingdom, we need to be walking that walk ourselves. And I thank you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us. Just starting this night, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for maturing us to put on that battle gear that you told us about in Ephesians. Every morning when we get up and start praying for our brothers and sisters at that point. And Father, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Has anybody got any questions about what I just said? And it's just it's something that David warned us about. And I already knew it because David and I have been talking about it. So that's just take it for what it's worth. If you are doing it, it doesn't pertain to you. If you're relying on somebody else, then it applies to you. And all it requires is you to start praying. Amen. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? That's pretty bad, isn't it? We're a group now. We're brothers and sisters here. We can pray for each other. What about testimony? Okay, Missy, go ahead.
This is just something little, and but I was just telling Merle, I said the last two times that I came down there, it's like I had, you know, I asked the Lord, no downpours, you know, I don't mind a little bit of a shower, a little, you know, just not rain the whole way or a downpour on me, you know. And both times it's like down and back, you know, there's a threat of major, you know, downpours, you know, and both times, you know, down and back, I go through just like the edge of it or whatever, and I wouldn't get hit, you know. And I was like, I saw these clouds ahead of me when I got into Pennsylvania, and I'm like, I'm going to look at the radar quick. And here I looked at the radar and looked at where I was, and there was this big mass of some really hard rain and stuff and all. But I saw that it broke up. And then when I went through there, I might have just got spritzed a little bit, you know. So I was like, thank you, Lord. It's, you know, it's like, you know, it's something little. Like, geez, how much more the big things? It's like, if you answer the little ones, hey, y'all, if you answer the little ones, how much the more really important things, you know. So thank you, Lord. Just remind us of that, Father, you know, just thank you, Lord, for that boost of faith, and just remind us to just pray about everything, and just remind us, Lord, just when we get our attention, Lord, you know, when we, you know, the enemy rushes in these vain imaginations, or even if it's our flesh, it doesn't matter if it's the enemy or it's our flesh, because both are the enemy of God, so it doesn't matter. We just cast down and set our minds on you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Isaac. Go ahead, brother. Or Mariana.
Hey, everybody. Great to see you all tonight. I just had a testimony. So I'll explain kind of what happened the other, I think July 31st, and I put my 2 weeks notice in. I actually just said, hey, I'll leave. And, they tried to keep me, other than talk about compensation. That's not really a big deal. Really, it's not, because being home is worth so much, right? So good to be home with your family. And, but they said, would you just stay home and put your 2 weeks notice in to kind of do some project cleanup? I said, y'all stay home for that. Anyways, so it worked out. Well, I've been, man looking, you know, and, putting my feelers out there, the job search. And, I guess you guys prayed for me Saturday. Greg mentioned that, but at first I really didn't know what he's talking about. I was just making jokes. Anyways, so y'all prayed. Thank God. And, Monday. So I've been interviewing with this company back home. And it's a controlled, great wage, great everything. And they even said, it's a food processing plant. But I used to work one before in ice cream. It's ice cream and beverage. This one's like bread and ice cream, and they have different facilities, but I would travel around. And Michael, is just like you said, it's where I get to renovate their older equipment into newer equipment, right? Now, I haven't done a whole lot of that, so that's going to be a learning curve. So, you know, I'm just kind of used to the latest equipment. And, now granted, I used to work on slick fives and slick 500s. I just hadn't upgraded them, right? Anyways, So, man, I called Monday. He was supposed to call me, and I just ended up calling him. I think the text message read something weird. Anyways, and he said, "Hey, I'm glad you called." I said, "Okay." He said, "So I thought I was going to interview me and him, some other folks." He said, "Well, I'm just going to go ahead and offer you the job." I said, "Well, okay." So he gave me a job right here. So that worked out real good. And, they're working out a start date for me. They give me like 3 weeks. You know, I asked them for, time off. So that worked out real good. And I actually had some other interviews lined out too. That I'm just kind of hearing what they have to say, but even one of them is even Rockwell Software. I don't think I'm much interested in that one though. Michael, they tend to, you know, David, you guys get this. They tend to put on their employees, apparently, from what I've read. But, it's just a praise report. I'm thankful, very thankful, because I get to be home every night and be with my family. And that's just so awesome. And thanks for the prayers, everybody. And, thank you, Lord, for a measure of your faith.
I'll tell you what, if that's what they're going to have you do, upgrade the equipment, I think you'll enjoy that. I did. I really enjoyed it. Well, okay. Praise God. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, with all the news going on with Trump and what's going on there, the prayers really went out yesterday. You also, Michael, had reminded us to pray on the outreach chat, and we stopped right in our tracks and did that. And that's been continuing. The factions and the spiritual warfare that's going on in our nation is a very, very serious matter. And pretty much right in the middle of the prayers, started being inflicted on my left toe in a joint that I've never had a problem with before. And I never had gout, but it was a serious pain coming from that joint. I knew where it was coming from. I just took the authority and prayed over it and cast out that spirit of infliction and prayed for healing. And right then and there, my toe started tingling, and within an hour, it was gone. But that was a distraction. That I took that as a distraction. And prayed against it, and pray for our nation, and that's what I wanted to share. The Lord's hand be on us all, that we be in a prayerful posture every day, as you indicated, and pray for each other, pray for our family, pray for our people that we come in contact with, to come into the understanding of the kingdom. And just thank the Lord for his covering on us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Well, yeah, I heard about that. I read a little bit about it, not much. I've got a little bit of a testimony. Today I was going out in the garage out here. It hadn't been out there in a long time. There's a big old nest of wasps out there. When I opened that door, I forgot to look over there because I knew that they always build a nest there in the summertime. And a couple of them got me before I could get out of there. And I just prayed. I said, "This is not going to bother me in Jesus' name." And they didn't. I mean, that first initial shock when they hit me, you know. But after that, it was gone. It didn't last 2 minutes. Lord, I just thank you so much for doing that, taking the pain away. Also, something else I wanted to mention. And I talked with Missy about it, see if she had experienced the same thing. When I was coming up here, Monday. When I come from the Tennessee side over to the Arkansas side of the Mississippi, you have two major interstates coming together. You have 40 and I-55. that goes north and south from New Orleans all the way up to St. Louis. And from that point on to Forest City, which is about 40 miles away from Memphis, 40, 50 miles away from Memphis, it's bumper-to-bumper traffic with big trucks. Almost, I don't ever remember not getting caught in truck traffic coming from the Memphis side into Arkansas. But Monday, it was smooth sailing all the way through. It was about half the trucks, if that many, on the road, on those roads when I came through. And what struck me was the things that we've been seeing in the news about the trucks not being able to run or not running. Food and supplies all across America. But I don't know if this is an isolated incident or what. And also, if most of you know, Arkansas is an agricultural state, big agricultural state. We grow the most rice of any other state in the Union. We grow a lot of soybeans and corn and just everything. Not much vegetables, but mostly just soybeans, wheat, corn, milo, things like that, and rice. But anyway, I noticed going home in very high agricultural farms all the way on both sides of 40, all the way to where I live, a lot of acreage not in production, lots of acreage not in production. And that's something else that we had learned about, that the government was paying people, or Gates was paying people not to farm. And I don't know if this is part of it or not, but it sure looks pretty telling, to say the least. Anyway, I thought I'd just mention that. I don't know if any of y'all have noticed that. All right, anyone else? Tracy, I saw your hand up earlier. I didn't know if you wanted to, if you could say anything. If anytime you want to say anything, just go right ahead, girl, because I know you're working. Go ahead, Pat.
I was praying about, I know a lot of things that are coming about now are in part designed by the Lord to raise an awareness in people, in the public. And so my prayer has been, how do you want me to cooperate in prayer? How do I respond to the situation? Obviously, we are in unprecedented times, and the more I see, when I was in Ohio here last week, I was kind of, I guess, a little bit surprised that so many of the people that I met in my extended family were well awake of of what is happening. I have a lot of Christians in my extended family, but in the particular area I'm here, a lot of the people that I met who are Christians here don't seem to be awake as to, I won't say that, categorically no one. I mean, it just seems like this particular area, you're definitely more in the minority. But so I was a little, I guess I was not, I did a lot of listening when I was there this last week, and just let people talk and express themselves and et cetera. And I mean, people's eyes are opening up. I get back to the question is, how am I to respond? You know, and that's, I guess, a continuing question. Is there something more than prayer, other than prayer? Am I supposed to be specific in praying in cooperation with the negative things that are developing, in order to raise people's awareness? Is this a positive thing being a negative thing? Or I don't know if I'm making sense here or whatever, but I do know, I've really caught the thing here lately is that when I start watching certain things in the news, you know, separate websites and whatnot, I start to sense a fear or an anxiety or, you know, lack of peace or whatever you want to say come up. If I don't deal with it immediately and start casting it down and speaking to the Lord and locking in on His word and reinforcing the truth, I'll go down a path of leading toward depression, you know, or, you know, like a woe is me, or, you know, wow, do we have, can't people wake up and look at what's going on or whatever? But, and so I know that process of fear there, or anxiety, or whatever you want to call it, I know you can be guaranteed that it is happening in society out there, that is happening in people that may not even be Christians, but they're seeing some things in higher places here that are rather disturbing. And there's a tendency when, you know, that you clearly have two choices. You either take that fear and you turn to the Lord and you start to process that with the Lord and, you know, how do I respond and reinforce the truth, and you turn that fear towards the Lord and try to and lock on to Him. Or you can lock on to the fear, and that fear will lead you away from the Lord. And eventually, if you keep absorbing that fear, you're going to numb out to the point where people, they tune out. They tune out. They click on their TV and they watch movies, or they lock into Facebook and they're just, you know, focused on Facebook or whatever. They're distracted on purpose. They're distracting themselves because they either don't want to address the fearful contemplation of what is coming or being out of control, or they don't know how to address it. And so I think that, you know, the whole process has to be that heart of fear has to be turned to the salvation, the solution, however you want to say it. That fear has to be turned to the Lord so that your fear, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of life. It's the beginning of the awareness of the solutions that are covered in all of God's Word. And our fear has to be of the Lord, of His reality, His truth, His provision, His resources in our life. And if it's not there, that fear will automatically be upon the world. And so, you know, the Lord has been using, I guess, the theme of fear and fear of the Lord and the truth and the promises and this whole thing for, you know, I'm going to say a general theme here for the last month or two with me. So I go back to square one again. Lord, how do you want me to pray in this situation? I know what Michael is saying here to everybody to reinforce the fact that we have to grasp, we have to get a firm grasp on it ourselves, because there are going to be people, there is going to be a flood of people needing help. And we as individuals and as Christians, we don't have the ability to help these people. I say that in one sense. It's not within us. I'm not going to be able to read enough or think enough or write enough or pray enough in order to help the massive amount of people that are going to come in. But we have to be effective at turning people to the Lord, because that's our only solution. That's our only hope, is if we can lock on to God, lock on to His Spirit. When I was in Ohio, I'm sorry, I don't mean to belabor this, but when I was in Ohio, I watched a couple movies from, I think the guy's name's Torben. We've heard about him before or whatever. But he has a ministry I think it's a ministry of evangelism, that type of thing. And the Lord has shown him a few things related to bringing people in, and taking what God has given you and go out and bring people in. Some very simple principles and whatnot. And the Lord is going to, I believe, if you were able to go to His website and listen to those movies, you would see an example of somebody, I believe, with the gift of evangelism. But obviously evangelism is based upon you bringing people to the Lord. That's the whole spirit. That's the whole goal. That's the whole, it's harvest. Bring people to the Lord. Bring people to the Lord. I think it's important to, when watching that, is to understand that is a person who has a particular gift, let's just say of evangelism, and it's meant to be part of the greater body and part of a complete package. And the reason I say that is there's kind of the motivation to go out, bring people in, go out and bless them, and then move on to the next, and bless them, and move on to the next, teach them how to do it, and then leave, move on to the next. Kind of in the background, I believe maybe in their mind is that, you know, I'm getting them in the door, the church, or God's going to have to take, you know, take them from that point. And to a and that is correct to a degree, because he's functioning in his gift. But there's also the need of the body to minister now to those people, because when that child is born into the world, that child has to be fed, has to be given the sincere milk of the word to grow by, and raised, and learn to fall and stand and walk, and learn to walk in the truths, and fall and stumble and get up and pick up and learn against being opposed, and the whole thing. And they have to mature and grow into adults and into maturity. And so why did I say that? I don't know. I just felt like there is a need for us to be able to be willing to reach out to people, but also to understand that this whole thing is a body effort, and it's going to be a body effort all the way to the end. And so, I don't know, I think I'm rambling now, but anyway, I just felt very strong and encouraged in what Michael was saying there. You know, basically, whatever you feel that you have to give, and what you have to give is what God is giving you. And what God is giving you, however you have to learn how to do it, you have to give it out. And when you give it out, God's going to put more. He's going to show you how to produce, how to, you know, convey the word, how to do whatever it is that he's gifted you to do. The body is full, and all of the body needs to be functioning and mature for this avalanche of people that are going to be coming in. This harvest that we're on the verge of now is going to be massive. So anyway, I'll shut up.
Well, no, you brought up some great points, Pat. The evangelist is not out there by himself, or should not be. All the gifts should be working in tandem with each other. Every one of them, it takes the fivefold ministry itself to grow up the disciple in us. And that's what you have to do. You have to bring all five of the fivefold ministries together. You've got your teachers, you know, all, everything that's involved in it is required, because the evangelist brings them in, but then that person has to be discipled. You just can't say, well, there you go, you're in the kingdom now, and leave them out there on the street. You have to direct them to a discipleship, or somebody that they know is doing that teaching, that type of teaching, to get them to the point to where they can make it on their own, you know, make it with the group and understand what maturity is as a Christian walk. So, yes, that's a great point. Go ahead, David.
Oh, I was just going to say, this weekend I went to a wedding. And I actually got to talk to a woman. I got this video started. I don't want to stop it. Missy cleared up. And you know what I found? And I find the best effective way when I can minister and get people interested, I'm not trying to save them the first time I meet them. No way. I can't. You know, there's too much. There's just a lot there. But you got to get them on the path. That's all. You got to get them on the path. You got to get them thinking about it. But this lady was probably early 70s, sat down at a wedding, and she sat down next to us because we lived probably close to her age, made her feel comfortable. And we got chatting a little bit, you know, and that was the biggest thing, is just talking to somebody. you know, breaking down the barriers, listen to her life story a little bit. And it was not real complicated. And then I seen that she had been married to twice, and within the last year, the last guy she was living with, that broke up, and so now she's all alone, and now she's got this all this time on her hands, and she's thinking, well, I think I'm going to go back to work, so I got something to do and got people to be around, basically, and probably make a little more money again. But it's because, you know, it's like her life story. Here I'm older now, and I got nobody in my life. That's kind of what I'm hearing, right? And I said, oh, yeah. And of course, we had chatted some more. And she made a comment about the groom because she knows the bride, you know. You get around these people, and they don't have their mouths together. They don't have their minds together, you know, yet, because they haven't been around the Lord in a while. And she said, well, and of course, my wife's a social worker, and we got married to this wedding, and the wedding we got invited to was the woman I got married was the woman that she shares an office with, and she's a social worker too. So you got a lot of these health professionals around there, right? And of course, this woman I'm sitting with had been a nurse and was a social worker. And she says, makes the comment, well, about this husband person. She says she picked somebody that really needs a lot of help. I thought, oh, okay. She's like projects. I said, all right. And I said, well, you know, when I first got married, then I started my story. I said, you know, I'm not anything like I was now. A man now. I says, I was a wreck. I says, I wasn't a good shape person. I said, but, you know, I think what really helped me and changed me the most was then I started talking about my life with the Lord. And I says, when I got to know the Lord, and I says, not when I was in religion, not when I was in Christian. I says, I didn't get nothing out of church. I said, that was nothing for me. I got out of that. It didn't do anything for me. But when I finally got real with the Lord, found the Lord, started walking in, and I didn't talk about UBM, but, you know, I basically talked about our fellowship. And I said, that helped me grow. That helped me get my act together. It helped me where I could feel good about life and about me and understand things. And I said, I knew it didn't matter who I was with. I needed to have something going with God. I needed that. I needed that in my life. And I was giving her that talk that she would see that this is what you need in your life. This is kind of where you need to go. And I wasn't trying to push it on her and say, nah, you need to do this. No, I didn't do that. I just kind of gave her my testimony and how good it's helped. And I said, I found out, I says, I found out there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I found out it's real that God can be inside of you. And you know what? And speaking in tongues, that's part of it. I start giving her that reality of what Christianity is. I don't know if you ever, you ever grew up a church where the Christian, well, yeah, I did that a long time ago. I haven't been to church in a while. Says, well, I said, that's when I said, I could not find what I needed in a church. I had to find God. So when I start giving her this real talk, real story, you know, she could listen. She could listen to a real testimony. And if you got a real testimony, people will listen. That's what you got to give. You got to give yourself, and you got to listen what they got to say about their lives. And if they listen and you're listening, you can make an impact. And that I know. Now, did I say, hey, you know what? Now you got to go out and get baptized, and you got to get, you know, I didn't put all that on. You know, I just met this woman. But I got her thinking. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get her thinking about God and running to God. I didn't want to overwhelm her and, you know, chase her off. So anyways, that's just my story, how it worked this weekend.
You didn't pile a bunch of Davis books on her?
I gave her what she could carry.
Amen. No, you're exactly right. You got to have a lot of grace with new believers. Go ahead, Geneva. Thank you, Davis.
I hope I'm not off topic here, but I was trying to get the baby ready and stuff. I just have a prayer. Well, I just want you all to come in agreement with me, because I got an email today again from my work. Speaking of social work, Dave, I got an email saying that they're now going to mandate everybody to have the flu vaccine. And I'm just like, gosh, like, So anyways, as soon as I saw that, I was like, all right, well, Lord, you did it with the COVID vaccine. You exempted me then, and I know you're going to do it now. And I don't know if y'all remember back then when I had, we all prayed, but I wrote like a 2-page paper basically just stating, like, it's my faith to not, use that stuff, and basically that, you know, it's against, you know, what I believe is true, and I had all kinds of scriptures and stuff to back it up. And anyways, you know, they approved it, and so, like, praise the Lord for that. So I just want to pray and believe that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be fine again. And I really just plan on using pretty much the same thing, you know, just switching some verbiage there from, you know, the COVID vaccine to the flu vaccine. But it's also this lady. So we have a doctor who's in charge of the company, kind of as far as like medical stuff goes. And I don't know, but she's definitely, you know, of the world and for all of this stuff. So she, you know, in the email said that, you know, we think that it's important that everybody is respectful of blah, blah, blah. And so anyways, I just pray the Lord gets her out of the way. So if you all just pray with me, you know, because the Lord does in my job, like, praise God, he is able to use me. And just like last week, I went into this little lady's room, and she was laying on her bed, and I went up to her, and I didn't know if she was going to be like alert and oriented or not, but she looked at me and she was like, I've been praying for an angel. She was like, I need somebody to pray for me. I need an angel. And so I grabbed her hand and I said, let's say a prayer. And, we started praying, and, I was asking the Lord to give her comfort and to give her peace and to be with her, you know, while she's in this room by herself. You know, I don't know where her family is. I don't know the situation. So anyways, we got done. She kissed my hand and she told me how much that meant to her and how, like, God had answered her prayers, you know, and that meant so much to my heart that day. And it's like, the Lord, you know, when I go into these rooms and stuff, like, I'm always praying for these people. I'm always praying over them. Like, Lord, if they don't know you, please show yourself to them. And, you know, before it's their time, God, I ask that, you know, like, that they, you know, you come to them, and that they can get repentance, or, you know, anyways, basically, I'm thankful for this job. It's the best job I've ever had. And we prayed way back when, the Lord blessed me with it, and still praying that God bless me at some point to be stay-at-home mama. But in the time being, I'm going to be thankful for what I got. So, yeah, if you all just come in agreement with me, I'm going to say a prayer. Lord, thank you, Father, for all that you've been doing, Jesus. Thank you, God, that just give me peace about this situation, Lord. I know you've exempted it before, and I know you're going to do it again. And, Lord, I just thank you, Father, that I am hidden, like we prayed. And, Lord, that none of these tricks or anything that Satan is trying to put out there can grab a hold of me, Father, because I'm your child, Lord, and I'm covered with the blood. And I just thank you, Father, that you're blessing me here to do your work, Lord, and to help bless these souls, God, and Jesus, to be you when I go and meet with these people, Father. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that this is just gonna be another testimony. And I thank you, Lord, for getting anyone out of the way who doesn't need to be in the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for placing Geneva in there for what time she's got left in there amongst these people, because they're in there alone. They're scared, a lot of them. They're also alone and feel like everybody's left them. And Father, we just thank you for our prayers with these people. And we thank you for your angels that are ministered to them as she prays. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Geneva, for doing that. That's awesome. Okay, Isaac.
Yep. That's me. I was kind of going to, Dave and Pat were talking about the body and, all that good stuff. Anyways, sorry. So anyways, I had a little incident happen to me, today actually, where I got to witness to somebody and real, you know, just so natural how it happened. There was a recruiter called me and was just, you know, get some information, some lady from Georgia. And gosh, I don't even remember how we got into the conversation. That's how natural it was. Just happened. I cannot remember it. Anyways, but we just started talking about churches and she was like, kind of fed up with the leadership and the whole 501c3s and the whole congregation. And you know, and it's true. Just like Dave said, you know, I try to find them anywhere I can agree with them. I'm always looking for agreement. Just where can we agree on? They have something to say, you know, yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. not to overly agree with everything, but you get what I'm saying. You know, cause a lot of these people out there do have, and especially those who maybe aren't, real into apostasy, they actually have a pretty general understanding of how things work. And sometimes, man, I found they even understand the Lord a little better. And, so we just got to talking and she was really like, super peppy, excited and kind of just, you know, telling me her situation. And it was real sad that she had a, her daughter's, husband, just committed suicide. It was a terrible thing. But you could tell she was real strong because she's been taking care of, her daughter and just kind of, you know, saying, hey, listen, you can't be drifting off, you know, this is the time that I forgot how she said it, but she was real strong about the way she portrayed it. And her daughter was asking her, say, why do these things happen in the world today? Like, why do people get, you know, kids get sick and blah, 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 blah. Now, I didn't feel the need to beg. Well, let me tell you why. See, there's this curse. And I feel like it's not my part, right? You know, it's like, oh, well, I know. I got the answer to everything. You got to watch that, man. That'll really get you. Sometimes you just got to listen and not, you don't, you know, I find Sovereign God lays it out pretty well. And I also found a tool that helps out pretty good. Save it as a PDF and email it to them. You can do that. That's what I did. Yeah, she was like, oh, and we really talked about it. And I said, hey, I got a little, I had to send her my resume. And I said, you know, there's also, I'll send you a PDF with it. And, you know, cause she was talking about the whole money and how the church has kind of become, caught up with the whole, you know, pastors living rich and whatnot. And I just said, yeah, you know, there's a book. And I'm even careful to say this because I did this one time and I realized it went fine, but I realized later, I feel like the Lord's saying, hey, be careful the way you word it. Oh, this book changed my life. Cause sometimes you might be implying that their life needs to change. Now we may know that, but you're like, hey, you need this because look at me now, right? And so I just said, you know, there's this book that really lifted me up, man. And, I'm going to send it to you in PDF. So, that all happened today. And just being gentle, finding agreement, you know, just kind of listening. So it was a real blessing. I was just kind of saying it for agreement purposes. And I'm going to say this too. Lord, let that book find her well, Lord. Let them understand it. Let it bless her lives. And Lord, give them your joy and your yoke, Father, because your burden is light. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thanks.
Hey, amen. Yes, Lord, let that book open up to her to where she'll just be amazed at the truth she's seeing. And Father, we thank you for that, that Isaac will be getting a call, wanting to know more. All right, Father. We thank
Amen.
You. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, and Michael, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt real quick. I said PDF. I kind of just blew through it real quick. What I mean by that, you can actually go on a website and download the books, and you can email them out. That's what I meant. So, you know, if y'all ever think about that, if it's something you want to do.
What does PDF mean? I just wonder.
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
It starts at ABC and goes through the Bible on the alphabet, you know.
Portable document something.
Uh-huh. Okay. Pat.
I know these guys live in Adobe Hut. So.
Yeah. It means it's something that you can't edit right offhand. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
It means portable document format.
Yeah. Thank you, Nick. Nick had it all along. Thank you. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Well, tonight, we were going to talk about the thief on the cross that June had brought up. And if anybody, I think it was, the question was, did the thief on the cross really go to heaven? Now, I went online and I saw some of the things that they were saying. And if you didn't know what was going on, you would accept the fact that the thief didn't go to heaven. Anybody else want to comment on about the thief going to heaven or not? Did the thief go to heaven or not? Okay. Julie says yes. Joe, are you saying yes, or I don't know, or
me?
Well, no, yeah, I would agree, but I think
you would agree. What?
A little bit of a look up. What's that? Oh, I looked up you know, what is a paradise in the Bible? Because I mean, most, I think I looked through a quick translation. Look, you know, I think every translation, but one I saw in this one specific translation didn't even mention what the rest of the translation says, but they all say, you know, Jesus spoke to the thief and saying, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, maybe, I mean, let's look at, what does the Bible say about paradise? What is a paradise? Is that heaven? I've seen several, you know, places on Google where people said, yeah, paradise was heaven, but I thought, well, maybe study that. Is paradise heaven, or is that something totally different? So.
Well, where'd you come up with?
Well, I didn't look too much in there, but from what I'm seeing, what little I looked at, I thought, well, I don't know. I would say yes in my limited in my ignorance, I would say yes, but I don't know. So okay. I can't say for sure.
Right. All right. Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
Go ahead, Davis.
I'd have to find the reference real quick and look it over, but we'd have to actually look. Paradise is kind of well described with Lazarus died, and the poor man Lazarus, and it's called Abraham's bosom also. And why would they call it paradise? Is because it was a void or separation in Sheol, which was hell. One side was torment, one side was not. And so you have people that were, I guess you could say, sanctified in a sense, or the saints that were, that had not yet gone to heaven, because Jesus had to pave that way for those guys to go to heaven. We know that. And so if anybody ended up in paradise, you know you were going to experience a second death ever, because that being in Sheol or hell, there's no way to be saved at that point. But the people in paradise, or Abraham's bosom, that's where Jesus went and preached the gospel to the saints. And they received the gospel message of who Jesus was, and they were raised up with Jesus when he went to heaven. So we do know that. So if this thief made it to paradise, you know what? Kind of pretty good thing that he probably made it to heaven too, whenever they all were raised up with Jesus. So that's just, I'll put it that way.
Okay, well, we're getting closer. Thank you, David. That's a lot. That gets us in there. Go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, I'm going to throw another wrench in the engine here. I'm going to say, who are these people that are underneath the altar in Revelation? And is that paradise? Are they going to come up out of the altar? Is that Abraham's bosom? Or what's that place? Or when you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, is that paradise? Where do these people go in storage? You know, like, is there a storage facility, or does it just happen on the rapture resurrection day? That's what I'm asking. Is the thief, has he experienced the parousia already, where you get rising to heaven? We know that the rapture resurrection has happened yet. So that's a dilemma for that, as to where these people are put in storage. I think it's personally underneath the altar. You're on top of the altar. You can't pray anymore after that. You're underneath the altar. And then he opens up the altar and brings them all in. But
you froze up, Andrew. Come back in the name of Jesus. Or did I freeze up?
And underneath his altar and seated at the right hand of the Father. So these are some of the areas that the Lord describes as heaven. So, and the actual coming in his people and then taken up on the last day, as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. You can see the in his people and then for his people, which I believe is the words epiphany and parousia in the Greek, but I'm not 100% sure of that. So paradise, underneath the altar, in his right hand, you know, in heaven. So which is it, you know? Where is this storage? Because the only one I see as a future storage place is in Revelation, underneath the altar or in his hand, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So to be told something like that by Jesus would be a wonderful thing to hear, especially at that time in your life. So, praise God anyway. So,
amen. All right. Go ahead, Isaac. Sorry, I got knocked off here for a little bit.
Are you good? Me again. Andrew, I don't know how to answer that question. Sorry. that's a deep one, very deep. But I was going back to, I don't know where Dave went. He's somewhere on here. But anyways, to agree with him, because I was actually researching a thief on the cross today. I mean, I just believe what Jesus said. But this is really interesting when I was researching when I come across, because Joe DeBrazi mentioned paradise, right? And I just seen this today. And he said here in John 20, and this is after he's already, this was after he was already resurrected. It said, let me just start here. So John 20, I'll start at 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turns herself and saith unto him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Jesus saith to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go unto my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And then Mary Magdalene cometh and tells his disciples. Anyways, so yeah, it says this is after that. He didn't ascend just immediately. Now, I don't know much on the subject, so hang with me. But kind of what paradise, kind of what Dave is saying, until he fulfilled all those things, then I would feel, pretty sure he went to heaven. But yeah, that was just an interesting point that later on in John 20, 16 through 18, he tell him not to touch me yet because I have not sinned yet into my Father. Just cool point. I hope that even sheds any light on it there, Joe, but I don't know that it does because I don't really understand really either, but it's just interesting.
Okay. Still got your hand up, or did I not knock it down? Okay, I got you down. All right, Julie, go ahead.
I was kind of thinking on about that. The thief on the cross, there were two thieves, and he was hung between the two thieves. And something that was coming to me when I've thought about this before is that, you know, there are two men on the earth, Jesus said, you know, and either you are for me or you're against me. There's the Christ and the Antichrist. And the difference between those two thieves is they, you know, they were both mocking the Lord at first, you know, with everybody else. But at some point during that time when he's on the cross, and I'm not trying to, you know, I'm just thinking it's like everything that they saw, everything that they heard, and God allowed the one thief to repent and said that, you know, he told the other guy, it's like, we deserve this. This man has done nothing. You know, he had obviously been, you know, they're up on the cross for 6 hours. They saw and heard a lot. And I, you know, they were still alive when Jesus died because they had to break their knees. They had to break their bones. And so they saw him die. They saw the earthquake. They saw the darkness. They saw all these things take place. They were dark for 3 hours. I just believe that one thief was given the grace to repent, and the other one wasn't, which is pretty much the same way for us. We get the gift of repentance, and it's like a type and shadow for those who accept Christ as their Savior and believe him, and that there are those who won't. And when he said, today you will be with me in paradise, you know, because he looked at him and he's like, he knew the heart of man, you know, and God was still with the Lord at that time. Our Father was still with the Lord at that time working. The Holy Spirit was working. And also, you know, to fulfill the scripture, I believe, about being baptized, you know, that we're commanded to be baptized. And that thief in the cross was with him in his death. He didn't have the opportunity to be baptized. This is just something I'm remembering from that teaching on baptism. Is, you know, the people say, well, what about the thief on the cross? He wasn't baptized, but baptism is in the likeness of his death. He died, he was there, and he died with Christ. So he was fulfilling that part of baptism. You know, he was with them when he died. Anyhow, that's kind of what was coming to me about, you know, the whole thing. It's like paradise is paradise. I believe heaven's going to be paradise, y'all. I'm sure you probably do too, compared to what we've been living in. And I think it's just another name of, you know, our eternal home. Amen.
Another negative that they throw out there that naysayers is that, well, Jesus wasn't raised, but 3 days later, how could he have been in paradise this day? And I believe we have covered that with what Jesus was talking about to the Old Testament saints. Okay, Joe, go ahead, brother. Joe Britt.
Michael, can I share my screen?
Yeah. You're up, Judy. Where'd Joe go?
I want to share my screen, Michael. Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, it doesn't show share screen. Sorry. Okay, it doesn't matter.
Oh, you want to share the screen? Okay, just a minute.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, it should be ready now.
Well, I would say it's the same as what Julie says. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 says, if you become united with him in the likeness of his death, he shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. But that represents full sanctification or perfection in this life. That's taken from David. And then in the perfection through Christ on page 164, I did see verses when David talked about that three glories, the thief on the cross, the one who repent, was in the likeness of his death. So that I would say that would be moon glory for him. So the other one has got a place of a dead. This one has got the moon glory, but I know. If you want to read that, it just shows the three different glories. That's all. Thanks. Julia, interpret.
Did you want me to read something on there, Joe? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I just want to, you can read that part if you can see that.
Which part, starting where?
PTC, Perfection Through Christ.
Page okay, 164. On page 164. It says, we start out as star glory because we have self-righteousness. The glory that comes forth from stars separates them. They're different. They're distinct from one another. And that's the first stage of Christian growth. We have our own glory, self-righteousness. The second stage of Christian growth is the moon glory, because the moon is one. And the Bible says that we become united with him in the likeness of his death. The moon is dead. It's one, and it's dead, having no light of its own, only reflecting the light of the sun. We who have fully manifest moon glory shall also be of the resurrection, which is sun glory. We're going from our own righteousness through death to self and resurrection life in Christ of resurrection life of Christ in us. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Did you want to make any comments on that?
Thank you. No, it's fine. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I was just realizing about this paradise and this place where the Lord puts you till resurrection. And the Lord heard Abel. After he died, he heard his blood cry. And of course, here it says in the fifth seal, it says, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of the slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a great voice, saying, how long, Master, the holy and true? Doest thou not judge and avenge our blood? So he heard them. He heard these people who are already dead. And and on them that dwell on the earth. And to each of them a white robe was given, and it was said to them that they should rest yet a little time until your fellow bondmen also and their brethren who are to be killed, even as they be fulfilled in number. And so this is the fifth seal. And of course, we know people actually make it alive too. So the Lord's actually hearing these people. And I like it that he explains it as an altar. So he hears the people because of the blood. These people have life in them. They're dead, but they still have the resurrected life because the life is in the blood, and they got Jesus' blood. So, and the ones on top of the altar, he hears them too. So, because we go into our altar quite a bit when we pray to the Lord, and when we praise the Lord, and when we give thanks to the Lord. So, the Lord hears us. Just by the perception of these being heard, he must hear us too. So, and he does say he's heard it the first time. But, you know, I sometimes wonder, you know, like, how many times do you have to ask him for something when we're told to be patient, you know? We have to be patient over things. And the Lord has everything in his hands, because we have to remember, of course, that God is the only sovereign being anywhere. So, praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. I wanted to share, let's see. Well, according to this article, they're supposedly... Well, I don't know, Dave or Barry or one of you guys who are teachers can probably confirm this if you've studied the issue. Supposedly there's five spots, I guess, in the Bible that says, like, mentions paradise. I want to say there's probably more. But according to these five verses, 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4 is another, and it seems like it gives us a clue here what it could be. As Paul's saying, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So... I think what stuck out to me, and I could probably see how some feel that paradise is heaven. I mean, it mentions the third heaven, you know, I believe as we know, you know, the first and second heavens are, you know, the first heaven is what we see usually when we look up in the sky. Second is where all the principalities and others are. And third heaven, I guess, is how I've always known it. I'm sure many of you others probably have heard this. You know, I mean, growing up in the various churches, or, you know, various denominations, third heaven is where God resides. You know, where heaven, as we know it, is. So, I don't know. Maybe that's where the common, I guess, attitude or the common belief. Oh, yeah, paradise is heaven as we've always, you know, known it. But since, you know, as Paul's saying here, the third heaven, you know, he mentions that first, and then he mentions later, caught up into paradise. So. I don't know. It kind of goes with what you were saying, Andrew, under the altar. I believe it's the souls martyred, I believe, you know, there in the book of Revelation are in the third heaven. So, I don't know. Something to think about, or if anyone else can expound on that. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead and mute yourself. Oh, there you did. Okay. Good.
let Dave go first, if you don't mind, and then I'll chime in.
Oh, you want to catch him or something too, huh? Okay.
No, he knows I'm not going to talk that long. He might talk longer, so
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
I would just say that when you're considering the terminology we got here, and also the time frame, you gotta look at the time frame, because with Jesus and the other, whatever, the person on the cross that went, that he said, today you'll be in paradise with me, and me. They were both going to a place where there was saints kept. All right. And we see that place with the rich man and Lazarus, because there was a void between them. And they could see people in torment there, and there was people not in torment. Jesus went to the place where the people were not in torment. But it was still Sheol. Because he had to go down there and preach the gospel to those people. And he did that. And then on the third day he rose, they went up with him. After that, that place was emptied. There's no longer anybody there in that place. We got to look at these as different places now, okay? Now, when Paul's talking about paradise, that's his terminology, how we can understand it and see it. But, again, it's even David Ellis talks about being up in heaven when he was in a it wasn't his body. It was a state that he could be in, like Paul, and talking to Jesus. So that's definitely in the third heaven area. And even what Andrew's talking about, you get people under the altar. Well, when does this happen? It's after Jesus has already been resurrected. So they're no longer in Abraham's bosom. That place is emptied. Nobody's ever going to go there again. But they're going to go someplace. And wherever place it is, it's not going to be there in Abraham's bosom anymore. It will be in heaven, in the third heaven. The people under the altar are in heaven, but they're kind of in a, they're giving them a rest from their torment, right? And they put white robes on them because these people were martyrs for Christ. And they're praying, Lord, when is this going to, you know, you're going to take and justify and give us this vengeance for our death, basically. You know, it's this unrighteousness that's happened. And he comforts them, gives them white robes, and puts them back in the rest under the altar. Because why is that under the altar? Well, that's a really sacred place to be. That's, you know, that's in the presence of the Lord. That's a very holy place because those saints are really valued. That's why, that's where that's at. It's a very holy place. So these are all different references of where saints are, you know, and glory, and how the Lord handles people. Where Paul went up and heard unspeakable things, and David went up and heard things. It's, you know, but it was a temporary thing. I think we even had, what was that? I always forget that guy's name. He died and went to heaven, and he came and told us about it. And he had that, whatever thing in the neck that paralyzed him, and he had the operations.
Yeah,
he had great. Go ahead. Do you remember? Julie, I think Julie always remembers. So I don't lie.
How was it, Missy?
Tom Kruger.
Yeah, Tom Kruger always remembers. Missy always remembers. Yeah, it's just great testimonies of people going to heaven and things they see. And we've got, you can go online and get all these great testimonies of people that went to heaven and came back. See, all these different views. And Hendrick, what's that game's name?
Odin Hetrick.
Yeah, another testimony. So you're getting all these different views of heaven, all these different views of where people are at. And it's not one place. You're getting a pretty big, you know, vast idea. So, but people are no longer in Abraham's bosom. That's all I want to say. I talked longer than I wanted to, Pat. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know something, Dave? I even saw one guy that was talking about, he said, paradise is hell. That's where Jesus went, and that's where this thief ended up, was in paradise, which is hell. Now, how many people would imagine paradise as being in hell? None, I can tell you. Unless unless you have an agenda. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I just got a statement here because I don't know how to formulate a question on this. And there's another area in the second chapter of Revelation where it mentions paradise again, and it's about the Ephesian church. To him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in paradise of God. But if you turn to the very back here about that tree of life in the last chapter, blessed they that wash their robes, that theirs shall be the authority over the tree of life, and they may enter by the gates into the city. As for going to heaven, if we're all seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just where did we get all this information anyway? Just where did David Eales get all his information to share with us or Michael or anybody? So I think we take our little trips to heaven too, even though people have dreams about it, they go. So we go to heaven when we go to our altar, because we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and he wants us there permanently. And he wants us underneath that altar too, and he wants to guard the deposit that he gave us. And I just thought to collate these two verses, because, you know, I looked up in my concordance where paradise was. Of course, it's more for the King James, but it was just these two verses that I collated. This one for the Ephesian church, and if that is a church, and it's going through some problems, just like the churches are today. And I just thought it was really neat that this person in the last 22nd chapter of Revelation has the authority over the tree of life. And that they may enter through the gates. Yeah, the pearly gates. And, you know, there's a guy there in a parable where he wanted that special pearl. And that pearl is the doorway that Jesus would let you in. And you get to go through the gates, too. The opening. And of course, even Odin Hedrick said that he experienced that gate once, and he was capable of walking right through it, even though it was kind of like a milky color, not transparent. That's because I guess it detected his blood. And if that city of God is supposed to be on this planet for 1,000 years and be so big as it's described in Revelation, the people who are not saved, who are still living, aren't going to be able to enter through that pearl thing. Why would you ever want to leave unless you were ordered to go out and do something by the Lord? And I think people will be. And redeemed people will be in their redeemed body, perhaps, to go out there for whatever reason that they would go out there for. Anyway, it was more of a comment, those two verses. That's just something you should think about. Anyway, God is sovereign. We get everything from him. He wants us to succeed. He wants to give the kingdom to us. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. All right, Pat, go ahead.
I was kind of like you there, Michael. I was wondering why that question was generated. And I don't mean by one of us in the group, but who originally generated that question? Jesus said, you know, after it was clear that he repented, And he asked the Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I guess to me, the answer to the man that said, well, Jesus went to Sheol, or went to hell, to preach the new covenant to the saints there or the people there. I personally don't believe he went to hell. I mean, I think he went to Sheol, as David explained. But anyway. But I think the important part of that statement was not so much you'll be with me in paradise, is that you will be with me. Whether or not he went to hell, to heaven, to the left, to the right, relevant, Jesus, you're where you need to be, and you're in the safest place that you can possibly be. But I guess I'm wondering if that type of question isn't a little bit of a lack of clarity as to what happens when you go to heaven. There's some that, think that, well, we've made the cut, we're there, and now we're going to be playing harps or whatever we do there in heaven for the rest of eternity. I mean, I like playing guitars and everything, but I'll tell you, I don't think I could do it for a billion and a half years or whatever, to stretch that out. But if you look at 30 and 60 and 100-fold, saints, I should say, and I think Joe brought it up, sun, moon, and, star glory. There's apparently, obviously, a place of maturity here on this planet where we are on this plane, in this place, where we walk through our walk and we learn to live up to the potential that God created us to be, basically, in that 30 or 60 or 100 fold. Well, if you are, let's just say, if you're this much, but that's what you were created to be, you're still 100-fold of that much. There are some people that maybe have been given or created to be this much, Daniel or somebody like that. And if that person has walked in obedience to the Lord and come to that level, he's still only 100-fold, 100%. So, I mean, I'm thinking that there's probably not a real clarity as far as what happens when we're there. What happens to these aborted babies that end up in heaven? They're in heaven. Were they 30, 40, 60, were they 100-fold? Well, they never got a chance. So, and I think back of these, a lot of the dreams and these recounts of, or accounts of the people going to heaven and the Lord taking people there. And they've told of seeing times where they see Paul and the apostles teaching groups of people, standing around and teaching groups of people. Well, what were they teaching them? If they had everything they were going to get or whatever it is, how did they get there? What's somebody doing something in the in the chat here or something? I'm starting to see people laugh at me. I'm wondering if I did something. So I don't know. I guess that's my point. Is I don't know if there is a point there or not, but it seems like maybe there's a lack of clarity related to, you know, once you make it to heaven, are there other things that you're going to be doing? Are there other things you're going to be learning? Are you going to be learning new aspects of Christ? Are you, you know, it's so, I don't know. That's all, you know, visionary, subjective, or whatever. So anyway, I'm through running my mouth.
I remember what Odin Hedrick said about heaven. He said, when you go to heaven, you can learn more and ascend more after you get there. And or you can just stay right where you are. If that's what you like, that's where you want to be, then you can stay right where you are. But there is an opportunity for growth in heaven. All right. Anyone else? According to Odin Hedrick. According to O-H. That means O, doesn't it? Go ahead, Julie.
Just some other things that were coming to my mind as I was listening to everyone, and is, you know, Jesus is the Word of God. And he came down to save the world, right? And God doesn't lie, so the Word of God doesn't lie. And Jesus said, told the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. And, you know, it also says many times in the scriptures about if you do a word search, like the phrase, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, you know, we enter into heaven here. You know, we start to enter into heaven here on earth. And, you know, where is that? Where is the kingdom of heaven? So, you know, it's like, whosoever believeth on me, you know, shall be saved. And so it's all about God seeing the heart of man, right? And he knows who's who. And so I just was thinking about that. It's like, you know, the kingdom of heaven is where we are in, you know, submissive and obedience and reverence to God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you realize, you know, that's God's working in us and drawing us to him. And because nobody comes to the Father unless, you know, it's through Christ, and nobody can come to him unless the Father draweth him. And it said, so, you know, where I can't remember where it is in the Psalms. Somebody's got to tell me or show me or, you know, put it in chat or whatever. But the scripture about, you know, that we are blessed. Blessed is the one whom God has chosen and causes to come into his temple. And, you know, we didn't choose God. He chose us. So it's all just, you know, we're just a bunch of nobodies. And it's all his grace that we get saved and that we come into the knowledge of truth. And, you know, one day we'll all meet the thief on the cross in heaven. And we'll get to hear his testimony, how the Lord saved him. You know, praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I think it won't matter. We're all going to have a great time in heaven. Great time. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
You know, in Isaiah, it's 53:12, where he states that he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And the whole passage in Luke and the whole story of the thieves is a fulfillment of that. And we've been speaking about the one verse in Luke where Jesus said to the one thief, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise, recognizing that that individual had accepted Jesus in some way to for him to say that. But then again, in Luke 23:34, Jesus speaks to the Father saying, forgive them, for they know what not what they do. And now he's interceding on behalf of a great populace. I mean, a great number of people. They were mocking him, casting lots for his raiment, speaking badly of him, quite a number. So I'm thinking that in this verse, people still could, after the fact, after the death of Jesus, accept Jesus and repent. And maybe that's where that particular verse, where Jesus is interceding on behalf of a greater number, that may explain that. That's what I was trying to wrap my head around.
Amen.
Thanks.
A lot of times, churches and organizations keep things in the letter and not in the spiritual. And they get messed up and they get off on the wrong track when they do that. Many times. Okay, anyone else? So it looks like that the thief is in heaven, right? Via paradise. Amen. Okay. Now, we have some more subjects for Thursday night. I forget who brought this up. Oh, yes, I do. Who remembers? Who did that? Okay, how do you give UVM teachings to other Christians? That's going to be the subject for Thursday night, one of the subjects for Thursday nights. How do you give UVM teachings to other Christians? I just hand it to them. That's all. Yeah, here, take it, read it. No. You know, that I've had them rejected before, and that's what she's talking about speaking about David and UBM. So that's what we'll discuss Thursday night. Also, if it's not a real long subject, the next one would be, why is the Gospel of John different than the other three Gospels? I don't know, but I think that was that you, Andrew? No, it wasn't you. Somebody else. It was you, Joe? Okay. Well, because John wrote it and not Luke, Mark, or Matthew. Just say, yeah, we can discuss that also. That's a good subject.
The light bulb just went off all of a sudden. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Has anybody got anything else they want to finish out tonight with to talk about? We can start talking right now if you want to about the UBM thing. How would you give a UBM teaching, if you were talking to someone about the truth of the gospel, how would you give it out? Nick's got the answer. Go ahead, Nick.
I would tell them to go out to the website.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yep, that's a good one. All right, Joe.
From the many times that I've given it out, or if I've referred it, I've even told someone, you know, check out this website and help them look it up online. I felt led to, you know. I think that's the big thing. I mean, it's easy to just kind of give them random teachings or random, you know, referring to random books. But a lot of times, you know, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I think that's the big thing. You know, once, I mean, for me, it's just like the thought comes to mind. we start talking about something, then all of a sudden, oh yeah, I remember reading that in this book. Here, you know, check this book out. You know, if you're interested in that, or like Dave was saying, you know, you don't want to just say, okay, well, first of all, you got to go to this book because it's going to be in there, and then you got to go to this book and just like, you know, totally overwhelm them. But a lot of times I say, I know a good book, you know, and yeah, I mean, it could be whichever one. So I think that's the big thing is just remember being led by the Holy Spirit because he knows exactly what they need. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. What is all this going on? All right. Anybody else? How would you introduce UBM to another Christian? Say to a Baptist. How do y'all do it? Yeah, Judy.
I pray a lot. Lord. Lord, is there somebody in my life or somebody you're gonna bring into my life, Lord, who's won the truth that I can help point, you know, the way to the truth and show them the real gospel and you know, show them what real faith is. And you know, like Joe mentioned, this is getting into a conversation with somebody and seeing where they're at and, you know, discussing whatever it is, might be current things. You know, people are waking up to what's really going on, like with the vaccines and stuff, and confessing is like, you know, I didn't get the vaccine. And so you're really, it's like, really, that's good. That's good. You know, and just kind of go for there and just start asking questions and let the Lord lead. And if you're moved to and you've got materials on you, or you can just give them the website, you know, it's an easy one to write down and remember. It's like, here, put this in your notes on your phone or whatever, and just say, here it is. Or it's like, show it to them and have them open it up on their phone so they've got it, or go into the YouTube site for the YouTube channel. There's, I mean, people are all into that kind of YouTube stuff. It's like, yeah, I know you can get a teaching on that right here. And find it for them. So it's all different, you know, like just got to be really seeking the Lord and asking for his direction. I pray in the spirit a lot too about that. The Lord has brought me opportunities in the grocery store, on the bus, on the trolley. A few people I used, you know, at work, there were some few people I worked and, you know, that were just really, you know, finding out that they're spirit filled. You are? Really? Do you believe in all this? Do you have this? Do you, you know? And, you know, that's like a live one, you know, you get someone who's spirit filled and speaks in tongues and they're, you know, cause I've heard David say, you know, they're a lot closer to the truth than the people who are not spirit filled and speaking in tongues because you know, gosh, it's a great tool that really edify yourself and it helped me understand the word of God more and, the spiritual part of it, you know, not just the letter. I mean, there's still things in the letter I don't get, but I'll, you know, Lord's going to reveal them to me in time. So it's just every circumstance is going to be different, and Lord's going to show you. He'll bring people because he wants the truth out there, and he knows who his heart. He knows who his elect are, and he knows who's going to be ready to receive it. And I've been turned down before too. You know, it's kind of like I had somebody give the sovereign, wanted to give the sovereign God back to me. And I'm like, oh, how can you don't get it? You know, and I just told him, I said, well, you hang on to it. I said, you know, there might come a day that you'll be able to pick it up again and read it. And he kept it. And I'm just believing that was the Lord and that one day he's going to pick it up again and he'll be glad he has it, you know, because God's going to do it. Praise the Lord. So, because God, his word does not return to him void, right? And that we know that book's full of the word of God. And maybe it'll land in someone else's hands. Oh, I have a little testimony about that. Got a few minutes. I ordered some books from Lulu and they were in two shipments. And when I got them, I only received one box. And I kind of waited a day or two thinking, well, maybe the box was just, you know, would catch up or whatever. And it didn't. So I tried to contact, I think it was FedEx. They couldn't give me information they did. They gave me information that apparently that box was, I don't know what they categorized it as damaged or whatever, but apparently there was some, I'm guessing it fell off the truck loading thing, whatever. And they couldn't, it maybe busted open. Apparently there was some damage to the books. So they didn't even contact the shipper. So I went to contact the shipper. They immediately followed up with them and they immediately reprinted all the books that was in that shipment and expedited the shipment to me, which was really cool of Lulu. And then, so I just believe that those books that didn't get to me went to somebody else. Maybe at FedEx or someplace wherever they were that they didn't get there. So there's a bunch of those books that didn't get to me, but they went where they're supposed to go. That's what I believe anyhow. Praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Isaac.
You know, Julie, working in, actually FedEx, right? We commissioned them. What tends to happen is we're going to, I want to say this to make it make sense. Not saying this is what happened, but this could have happened. But either way, what happened was, I agree with you, it got in somebody's hands. But, sometimes they go in the sortation system, they get sorted, they go through like a research and they get sorted to go through their destination or wherever they're going, right? And you'll see packages busted open there. And I've seen, in those operators will get their hands on them if nobody claims them after a while because they just sit there and sometimes they don't get repackaged. Now, I've seen books and stuff land before, so that's the first thing I thought of when you said FedEx lost. I said, you know, those books were somewhere, somebody seen them, because I see it with my own eyes. Anyways, so, man, I would almost guarantee it. Anyways, speaking of witnessing, yes, that one. The something that always did was, yeah, like I said, prayerfully, ask the Lord, that somebody come in my life that I could share this with. You know, sometimes, you know, like I say, I find it best just to, if I can, give them a book and let them figure out themselves. Because I don't want to be system overloading somebody, right? Always excited to hear somebody share with their excitement, share a little bit of my own. Hopefully even make a contact. Sometimes it doesn't make it that far. But, and I've had it on trips where I'd bring a Sovereign God or bring another book. And I've come back on trips where it came back with me, and I've had trips where I've given it out. And it is very situational and being led by the Lord, you know, because sometimes you get calls or you're meeting with somebody from I don't know if it's within your company, it can be anywhere, and you find good fellowship. I got other fellow who wanted to help me with my project, come to find out he was a Christian. And that was, you know, that was really cool. But you don't know these people good enough, like, hey, by the way, what's your address? Give me your address. You know, people are like, I don't even know this guy. But so that's why I always found in those cases, okay, man, what's your email? I'll send this over to you real quick. Check it out. And another thing that's cool, too, is this kind of what happened to me is my good old buddy Garrett Crawford gave me a Sovereign God. I've never been much of a reader, never. And I can say I've only probably read 5 books in my life, right? And I'd say 4 of them were coloring books. But but really, though, it was the, you know, now it's the Bible. Thank God for that one. Thank you, Lord. But I picked up Sovereign God after having it for a while. Man, it was amazing. Just so – I could believe what I was reading, but it was just – how did I not know this? How is it so evident? It is amazing. It is like a miracle that my eyes could be opened. So, yeah, it's all situational, but there's I know the Lord's in it. He's just going to make it work. That's all.
Okay. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, those Baptist people are hard to get to. That religious spirit's really hard to get through, but I think what I've been, sorry, my dog's trying to sit down on my lap. But I've just been, I think, just planting seeds here and there of truth. So just the seed of knowing that, that we can speak in tongues, that there's healing, that we're beloved spiritual Israel. Just all these little seeds that I've learned through David Eales, just planting those little seeds, because someday they won't be raptured and they'll be like, wait, I heard that from somebody, and I'll go seek that person out, and then I can lead them to David Eales and the website and the books and everything, because they're just not ready for any of that right now. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Benita. Go ahead, Missy.
One of the things that I've done in the past, well, of course, you know, you always have to be led by the Spirit, but, I've said about how just in general, depending on what they say, depends on, you know, what you say to them and what book you would give them if you have an opportunity to give them whatever book it is you think they need. But lots of times, you know, Sovereign God is a good one to start off. But, you know, you can just, you know, like I've said, how much, you know, it's helped me and just give some testimonies about that. I think when you give your own personal experience and testimony or whatever about it, you know, that helps the person, you know, be interested, I believe, you know. So that's just for one instance what I've done in the past. So
amen.
Like one time in particular, I was out on my walk and I was talking to a neighbor in the other part of the neighborhood, and he had these questions, you know, about why this or why that, and, you know, and the Sovereign God popped into my head, you know, why does God do this or why, you know, and that kind of thing, and, you know, Sovereign God, you know, explains that, you know, Sovereign. He's in control of everything. So anyway, so that's how I've done it at times.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. Go ahead, Dave.
You know, there's very few people out there that are probably searching for what we search for. That I find out. I mean, you've got a lot of, like, Vinny is talking about religious spirits out there. Really hard to get through that shell. I mean, I got a Catholic woman that I kind of feel like she has a Kundalini spirit too. She's been to some of these Catholic conferences that are kind of mystic, and I think she has one of those spirits on her. She wears a big badge of Mary and all that, you know. And I still tried to talk to her about things, but I don't know how far I go, you know, because she's got this, I think I know more than you attitude about, you know, because I'm a Catholic and the things I know and the things I believe. And you just feel like you're trying to compete against people with knowledge sometimes. You know, it just doesn't go very far. Or else they're shutting you off because, you know what, yeah, I'm not going to listen to you. It's just like they've been told not to, so they're not going to. Or they think you're kind of a kook. You're a little different. You're not really like the rest of us. I don't know if you ever got that feeling. I get that quite a bit, especially if I'm going to talk to anybody in my family sometimes. But so there was one thing somebody did tell me. And this guy's no longer here. He's fact just out. But he did have a good piece of advice for that happened. And he told me, and when I was talking about, you know, giving all this stuff out, trying to get people turned down to UBM and all that, and get going with this, he says, We don't proselytize people. I says, well, he says, yeah, you're not out there to convert people over to UBM. That's not what you're doing. You know, fine, go ahead if that's what you want to do. But, you know, if you're going to do anything, whatever you're doing, you're just trying to just get truth out. Because, you know, that's what the rest of the religions do. They kind of bring people over and under their umbrella. That's not what we're here to do. And you can. There's nothing wrong with that if people want to come in. I personally have not been able to get anybody to come into the conference room yet, I don't think. I've tried, just to have them try it out, check it out, you know. But I think more than anything, it's just getting down to basics and finding some kind of common ground where you can share truth. And if they'll take a book, that's great, you know. I've given out a few Sovereign God books. I don't know if they ever got read. You know, I feel like sometimes they aren't really that receptive. They'll take it, but, you know, their mind's still not there for that. But I guess it's there. It's an option. So my idea when I'm talking about things, I know already I'm not going to be on the same page with a lot of people on things. So I don't try to convert them to my way of thinking. It ain't going to work. I try to get them into truth. And I'm not trying to get them to come into UBM. Like, I'll share UBM. I got cards. I'll talk about it and refer them to that. Like, there's a lot of great stuff here. But I know I'm not trying to proselytize them. I'm just saying this has a really good stuff you might find there. Because I decided that, you know, if I'm going to try to proselytize people, I'm just being like the rest of religions are. You know, so that's just what I'm saying.
My church is better than your church because we got this truth. Yeah.
You should hear my pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a bigger bucket than y'all got. Go ahead, Judy.
Oh, praise God. That's a good point. Thanks for that reminder, Dave. Just another quick, real short testimony. I was coming back on a plane back home from, I don't remember exactly where it was, but I was reading. I had with me a couple books, and I also had my iPad with me, which had all the books down in PDF. So I just felt like I just always asked the Lord, right? And I was on an aisle seat on the right, and the guy in the aisle seat next to me noticed the book I was reading, and it started a conversation, and I ended up giving him the book. And he read it the rest of the plane home, the rest until we landed in at the airport. And he wanted to give it back to him. He's like, you can keep that. That's yours. I pray, you know, it blesses you and all that. And anyhow, it was a good testimony. You know, just God can do anything, anywhere with anybody. And he's awesome. He knows everything about everybody. So he'll bring people and just be willing to be to be used, right?
Amen. That's where being led by the Holy Spirit comes in handy, you know. The best thing to do is not talk a lot when you're wanting to get the truth out. Allow them to talk, to find out where they are, and just throw stuff at them like you didn't talk about. Throw a little bit here and a little bit there and catch them with a fish hook, you know. And then they want to know more and more. Sometimes it takes a lot of time. I try to qualify them first, you know. When I was speaking to a group of people or something like that, you know, I would ask them, if what the Bible says goes against your religion, are you going to go with your religion or the Bible? And, of course, you got those out there that will say, you can't talk to them right then, that will say, well, that's just your interpretation. Well, how do you reinterpret it? You're not trying to get argumentative with them, but you're trying to get them down a path to where they can see reality in the truth of the Word of God rather than in their theology. And if you can do that, you succeeded when you're talking about truth. Yeah, Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Debbie posted something in the chat.
That doesn't surprise me. What she post? I haven't been able to read the chat.
I posted prayer for Albert for tomorrow morning, or praise for Albert for this miracle tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning is a surgery for this tumor to be removed, brain tumor. Okay.
No, he doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord. We prayed the prayer of faith for Albert.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, that there is no tumor there. And it's going to astound the doctors. And they don't know what to think about it.
Lord.
And then, Lord, you're going to bring it to his mind that we prayed for him. And that's gone. And it's because of you and not the doctors that gets the glory. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Albert. Jesus' name, and all the people that he's going to tell about this miracle that's happening, even as we're talking right now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Go ahead, Greg. I'm out of time.
Hello. Sorry. Yes. Thanks for the information about the chat, Michael. That explains something. Deb, I agree. That tumor is not there. I'll leave it at that. I'll keep praying. Look, I just wanted to bring up a prayer point, not so much, you know, let's pray and get this fixed kind of thing, though let's pray and get this fixed kind of thing, but I was speaking last night to my friend April, who lives in Tennessee. She's been in here a couple of times before. And I, you know, after the conversation, I said, look, I'm going to bring this up in prayer, you know, for prayer in here. and she gave me permission to speak. I'll be brief because I know you're on overtime, Michael. But it's not one thing, you know, sorry. I just thought I'd bring it up in prayer. April is one of these people who's had so many things happen to her. Like, you know, and really, really terrible things, you know, from birth even, you know, there's been, you know, abuse and all sorts of things and stuff she's not even sure of. And sometimes in the time I've known her, there's been things that like keep happening, like her hands are getting damaged and falls and stuff like that. And it's obvious to me that she's very much a target of enemy activity and an ongoing thing. And to her credit, she has stayed in the fight. She's not one of those people who go, oh, the enemy's attacking me, please. You know, she stayed in the fight all the time. And it's not over yet. And she, you know, has been aware of prophecies and stuff like that. And she's very much in line with, you know, the stuff I've learned in here. Thanks, Julie. sorry, the stuff I've learned in here. But anyway, I said last night I would just bring her up as a subject or a matter for prayer over the enemy. That, you know, goodness me, these things would stop would be nice. I guess I kind of put it akin to, you know, the story, the account of Ali, you know, her thing with her feet, etc. That, you know, it was God didn't deal with it straight away, but he's dealing with it anyway. So if I with that little outline there, yeah, I'm just going to pray, if I could, and I'm going to, whether you like it or not, but, you know, and you guys can agree or whatever else, and I don't know, for those who want to keep it on their list of things, then I don't know. I'm chucking it out there anyway, if I may. All right. No one's saying no, so I'm going to go ahead. Lord, one, I want to thank you for this friend, and for some reason she looks to me as a mentor. But Lord, I recognize that this is someone who is deeply in warfare with the enemy. The enemy is deeply in warfare with her and her life and her family. Lord, I want to ask that her boundaries, her walls be manned with, well, angels, with defenders and even attackers that would take down the enemy that would seek to destroy her and stop her, and the things you have called her to do. Lord, I'm going to leave it at that, and we can talk about it more, and I'll pray in tongues. But Lord, I just want to commend her before your throne. And I know she's not alone, Lord. I know there are other things that happen to all of us. But Lord, okay, have the victory and let it be seen. Amen. That'll do. Over and out.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for April. Father, we just thank you for sending your angels around about her to minister to her and give her the things that she needs, Lord, to fight this battle. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, folks, we're out of time. We praise you, Father, for the work that you've done tonight. Answer some questions that people may have had. And we praise you for it, Father. Be with us as we go about doing what you want us to do the next couple of days and bring us all back together again Thursday night. Good night, everybody. See y'all.